If you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. We will be continuing on our study on the Lord's Prayer. Pray like this. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a preacher that I greatly admire, who preached in Britain in the early 20th century, he actually says this about the Lord's Prayer. Any man who attempts to preach on the Lord's Prayer must surely find himself in great difficulties. There is a sense in which it is almost presumption to preach on it at all. One should simply repeat these phrases and meditate upon them and consider them before the heart. And I find myself in this great predicament of trying to preach these amazingly rich prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to do. And for that, we need the Lord's help. So if you would please pray with me. O gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to open your word and to learn about prayer. And we need your help in all that we say and all that we do, and especially in prayer. Often our prayer is based upon our own needs and wants, and hardly ever do we consider you and your greatness in all of your glory and all of your splendor. And we pray that we would have a heart change as we open your scriptures today and learn how you have taught us to pray, that our minds will be molded, that we would have renewed minds, that we would have lively hearts for you and your glory. Pray that you would help us as we come to study your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the word Lord from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. How can you know the will of God? Often in life, this is a great question that rattles our minds and keeps us up at night. What job do you do? A cabinet maker, a baker, or a candlestick maker? What college do you attend? What are your plans after retirement? What are you to do next year? When are you to sell your house? When are you to buy your house? Who is the right person to marry? And even, does God's will tell us what type of hat we need to wear? What type of shoes we need to put on in the morning? Or maybe in reverse, something bad in your life has happened, and you maybe think that God is sending you a message about something. Maybe you think he is saying that you married the wrong person, that you took the wrong job, that you're outside of his will. And these are great questions I think we need to look at and study what the Bible teaches us. But when we pray today, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what does it mean when we pray this petition? Firstly, we need to understand that God is sovereign over all things. The author of Psalms says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. First Chronicles said, yours, O God, is the greatest, and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Not only God is sovereign over all things, but he's also sovereign over man. Proverbs said, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Or Job says, I know you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So when we pray, your will be done, we might wrongfully think God is waiting for us to give him permission. He is almost like an athlete on the start line, ready for the gun to shoot so he can begin his race. But like the petitions before, we need to understand they're not permissions for God to wait on us until we pray these prayers so that he can answer them. But prayer is actually a means of grace God uses to carry out his will. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 98, answers the question, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. In the name of Christ, with the confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Does prayer change God's mind? The simple answer is no, because God is unchangeable. But you can say, is prayer effective? The answer is yes. In times in the Bible, someone prays a request and it seemingly changes to a different directed, a different outcome. You might think of Moses in Exodus 32 praying to the Lord not to wipe out the Israelites, or 2 Kings 20, 21, Hezekiah praying that his life might be prolonged. But prayer is a means of grace that God uses. God uses many means to carry out his will, his sovereign power. Charles Spurgeon says prayer is the slender nerve which moves the muscle of omnipotence. Prayer is a slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. That God uses all different means and causes to carry out his will. And prayer is one of these means. If God has orchestrated all things for his glory, he has orchestrated the prayer itself, but also the answer to that prayer as his way of carrying out his will. James says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. Where Jesus says in Mark 11, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Prayer is powerful and effective, not because of you, not because of the person praying the prayer, but the person whom that we are praying the prayer to. Because God is the one who is powerful. He is able to carry out what he wills. And also, when we pray in the name of Jesus, it is Jesus who is praying for us. So prayer is effective and powerful. If Hezekiah didn't pray, then God could not have answered his prayer. So God orchestrated it that prayer was one of the means in which God would use the answer to his prayer. And when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're not asking to change the mind of God and change his will, but to work within us, to change us. And that is what we're going to be looking at today. That when we're asking God to change things in us, that we will be looking at 3 points. What are we requesting God to do when we pray, your will be done as it is in heaven? Firstly, we're asking God to change our ability and our will. We're asking God to change our ability and our will. We see this in your will be done, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That there's 2 contrasting thoughts here. That there's God's will over against everyone else's will. God's will be done. But also that God's will is not done on earth as it is in heaven. In the first 3 petitions of the Lord's Prayer are actually focused on God and his glory. we realize that when we pray, "Your will be done," we're asking for God's will, not our will, to be done. We're also realizing it is not done on earth as it should be done, as it is in heaven. Right in the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God by eating the forbidden fruit, they chose their will against God's will, what He had revealed to them through His Word. Through Adam, all had fallen and fallen short of the glory of God. You and I, by our own nature, are unable and unwilling to obey God. We do not live with the chief end of glorifying and enjoying God forever. This is our ability and our affections bent towards our sinful nature inherited from our first father, Adam. And when we pray, "Your will be done," we realize that we are actually, in fact, against God's will. Now, it's important to stop here and understand the nuances when we talk about God's will, because often we get these two ideas confused. Now, we do this in English. There's many words that we might use that have the same spelling but have a different meaning. One word is occurrent. Now, it might talk about a current as in a stream of flowing water, but it also might mean current as in what is happening today. Now, this is when we talk about the will of God, and when we see the word will of God in the Bible, or God's will, we need to understand these two different ideas. The first being the decretive will of God, or also known as the hidden will of God. And this is by which He, God, purposes or decrees whatever shall come to pass, whether He wills to accomplish it effectively or causatively, or to permit it to occur through the unrestrained agency of His rational creatures. This is a complex thought, but we often in our tradition call this providence, God's providence. We see this in the Bible, that God, the king's hearts are a stream of water in the hand of God. He turns it wherever He will. Romans 9, so He has shown mercy to whomever He wills and hardens whomever He wills. Ephesians 1, 11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Or Acts 2, 23, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed Him by the hands of lawless men. That this definite plan and foreknowledge of God is this hidden will of God. That it's not something that we know to be the case. He has not written it on paper for us. But He works all things according to this plan, according to this will. And thus it is hidden. We do not know. And then the second is a perceptive or revealed, which is the rule of life which God has laid down for His moral creatures, indicating the duties which He enjoins upon them. This revealed will of God is laid out in Scripture. We can see it in black and white. That this is God, what God wants His creatures to do. We see this plainly in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are what we would call His revealed will in Scripture. But that doesn't mean it always is carried out, because we disobey what He has revealed to us. Now, that does not then fall out of His hidden will, but it is His revealed will. We see this in Ephesians 6:6, not by the way of eye service as people pleases, but as bond servants doing the will of God from the heart. Hebrews 13:21, equip you with every good thing that you may do His will. Ephesians 5:17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Or Psalm 143:10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Or even in Matthew, as we looked at last week when we talked about the kingdom of heaven, no one says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Or later in Matthew 12:50, whoever does the will of Father is in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. So we need to understand the nuances when we talk about the will of God. There is these two different layers in which this word comes. And when we pray, your will be done, it's on these two different levels. We're praying that God's hidden will would come to pass, but also we would be able and willing to know, submit, and obey what God has revealed in the Scriptures.
One of the greatest culminations of this understanding of the hidden will of God and the revealed will of God is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he comes down and he falls on his face and he prays, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. That here we see Christ in his human nature, where he wills not to go through this pain and torment, but yet he prays that not his will be done, but the Father's will be done, where all the combinations of the promises of what God has promised would happen to Jesus on the cross will come to fruition. They will come to an end in Jesus laying down his life. And then this revealed will of obedience to the Father, where Christ walks out what he is commanded to do. That the men who crucified Jesus were going against God's revealed will in disobeying the moral commandments, yet they were actually carrying out God's hidden will.
So when we pray, your will be done, we might not change, we will not be changing the mind of God, for he has set his hidden will before the foundations of the earth. But we are asking God to help us. We need Christ to make our prayers that of a righteous man, because it is only through his name that we approach the throne of God. We also need the Spirit to work within us, to wake our souls, that we might be able and willing to see God's will be done. Ian Bounds, a great theologian on prayer, says, the deeper desire and the stronger the prayer. Without desire, prayer is a meaningless mumble of words. Formal praying with no heart, no feeling, no real desire accompanying it is to be shunned like a pestilence. Its exercise is a waste of precious time, and from it has no real blessing assured. So we really want our prayer life to be shaped into prayers of and for the will of God. Your will be done should be underlined in all that we pray. Do we give our desires to him according to his will, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism says? And for this, we need God to work in us, to change our mind and our abilities and will. If you think you're able to get or change God's mind because of positive thinking, we're having this fake faith, that prayer would be more effective if you yourself did more things for God, it would be like demanding a stone heart to beat, a dead man to breathe, a blind man to see. Only through the invigoration of God in our lives can our affections and desires be changed to actually pray with fire in our souls to be able to see God's will be done. And we want to pray this. When we pray, your will be done, we want to be shaped and moved to be praying for what God wants us to be praying for. So we pray the will of God that is with his revealed will, would change our ability and our own will. And what do we want it to change more and more into? Or what do we want to change? We want to change our mind, what we know, our heart, that we would be willing to submit, and also our actions, that we might be obedient. Change our mind, heart, and actions. And we want this to happen when we pray the words, "Be done. Your will be done." Having our will and ability changed is fruitless if it doesn't produce fruit. Change in thought does not mean then change in action. And we want God's will to be done. We want to see the will of God done, to carry it out, to be fulfilled in our own lives and the lives of others. We want our prayer lives to be shaped by this, to pray prayers of the Bible, that we might pray like in Deuteronomy 6:5, the great Shema, that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our might, that we would love God's law and meditate on it day and night, or store it up in our heart that we might not sin against God. We would desire God's word more than gold, even the finest of gold, and love it sweeter than honey, the drippings of a honeycomb in Psalm 19:10. Or that we might pray to be like the man, the blessed man in Psalm 1, that we would delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night, being like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, a tree that its leaf does not wither, that in all that we do we prosper. And we pray we might know the word of God, that it might be like blood in our veins, that it's throughout our whole body, that it provides life to every corner of our being. That once was dead would be raised, that we would become living sacrifices for God's glory. One of the greatest pieces of advice any person can give a preacher is that you would ask the preacher to preach to himself first. But you would never encourage a preacher to plan, prepare, and preach a sermon without doing this. That the preacher would preach to himself. And you have heard this saying, practice what you preach. But also the truth needs to be applied into in the ways we pray. We should be a people who practice what we pray. We would not utter the word, "Your will be done," but we would desire to see God's word known, God's word obeyed, God's word submitted to by everyone, but most importantly, in our own lives, that we would desire to know God's word to be able to understand more about God and his character, but also what he requires of us as his creatures, that we would pray and we would obey God's word, not as just the portions in which we agree, but in all areas. That we would live a life of obedience to God's perfect and holy word. Not just in public where other people see, but also in our private lives when no one is watching, listening. That as we go out and tell and point to God's word as we live in this world, people would be able to see God's word as the foundation of your life. The God's word that you seek to be obedient to his will, that when we pray, "Your will be done," we want his will to be done in our marriage, in our parenting, with our personal character, in our work ethic, but also in our devotion to God, that we would have a heart for Him. Again, E.M. Bounds says, no man loves the Bible who does not love to pray. And no man loves to pray who does not delight in the law of the Lord. That this is what our prayers are. That we wish that our ability and will might be changed when we pray, your will be done, but also that it wouldn't just stop there, that it would permeate into our whole lives, that we would know God's will, that we would live out God's will, we would obey to God's will, we would submit to God's will. Again, E.M. Bounds says, prayer must be red hot. It is the fervent prayer that is effectual and that availeth. Coldness of spirit hinders praying. Prayer cannot live in a wintry atmosphere. Chilly surroundings freeze out petitioning and dried up springs of supplication. It takes fires to make prayers go. Warmth of soul creates an atmosphere favorable to prayer because it is favorable to fervency. By flame, prayer ascends to heaven. Yet fire is not fuss, nor heat noise. Heat is intensity, something that glows and burns. Heaven is a mighty poor market for ice. So we want our prayers, when we pray, your will be done, we want that to actually apply to our lives. And God, please change us that we would have your will done in our lives. This then raises the question, how do we know what God's will is in our life? When asking about finding God's will, we can only be talking about what has God revealed in His Word. We cannot be talking about His hidden will, because that is hidden to everyone besides God. The only way that we can know God's hidden will is whenever it comes to pass in history. So we're specifically, when we're talking about finding the will of God, we're asking about what has God revealed in His Scriptures. And God has given us the sufficient Scriptures to be able to know and show us His will. The Westminster Confession of Faith, 1, chapter 1, 6, says this, the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for His own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture, or by good and necessary consequence may be deducted from Scripture. And the first thing we need to understand is does this decision glorify God? This is the first thing that we should be thinking and considering in all aspects of life. You eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. So when we come up to making a decision about a job between being a criminal or a teacher, and we ask, does this glorify God? What has God told us to do in His Scriptures? But also a little bit more nuanced. A person can be a car salesman, but whether he's glorifying God in what he does when he sells cars is about his character. And the Bible speaks very highly what a godly character is. Then you get a little bit more nuanced in your decision making. Maybe you have two jobs that are equal in this glorifying God, but it comes down to providing for family. The Bible speaks of this. Or also being present with the family. Some jobs might pay well and provide well, but you're not present with the family. And it does not tell you who to marry or what to study in college, but it does give directions on what a godly husband or a godly wife is, or even godly occupations, or even a godly character in a different occupation. And the truth is, the goal is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And this is the center of the target. Often we think the other way, that the center of the target is who are we going to marry? And thus, everything flows out from that. The question is, the goal is to glorify and enjoy God forever. And this is the goal of the target. And outside of that, there's many different options. Martin Luther famously said, a cobbler can bring more glory to God making shoes than a priest serving the church. That it's not about vocation that makes something more sacred, but the person who is carrying out the work and whether they're doing it for the glory of God. The Bible doesn't speak directly about many issues we face. The Bible doesn't mention an iPhone or messaging. It does mention tablets, but that's another note. But it does show us God's will on how we are to communicate with one another. In love, without being sober-minded, enduring suffering, doing the work of an evangelist, having nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, not being quarrelsome, kind to everyone, patient, enduring evil, correcting our opponents with gentleness. And that's just in 2 Timothy, just a few verses. The Bible gives us all that we need to know about how we can follow God's will. Often, when we're asking for the will of God, we're asking for the hidden will of God. But we need to turn first and foremost to the only thing God has given us, which is His revealed will. So finally, we want, when we pray, Your will be done. We're asking God to change our will and ability to know, obey, and submit to His will. And finally, we're praying that He would change our focus, that we would want His will in all things, not just in some aspects of our life. We pray, Your will be done, not as in a select area or arena of this planet, but on earth as it is in heaven. As we should practice what we pray, we should also have a heart to pray bold prayers of what the Bible promises. And we're not talking about the prayer of Jabez, but the great promises found throughout Scripture. Not necessarily increasing our physical lots of land or our bank accounts, but rather holding fast to the promises that are found in His Word. Again, E.M. Bounds speaks of the church, any church calling itself a house of God and failing to magnify prayer, which does not put prayer at the forefront of its activities, which does not teach the great lesson of prayer, should change its teaching to conform to the divine pattern or change the name of its building to something other than a house of prayer. That we as a church should be a praying church. We realize nothing will happen unless we pray Your will be done. And we should pray that, hoping that the Lord would work in us to bring that to fruition. And we should be a praying church, praying bold prayers. We should be praying that the lost might be found, that God's kingdom would come, that God's name would be kept holy in all that we do, and especially in worship. That we're praying that sinners might become saints because of the sake of Christ. Praying that young children who step across the threshold and hear about the good news while at BBS, they might hear that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That we would be praying that many people would come, that many people would hear the gospel. Not just many people, but any type of person would come, young and old, from this country or another. People who have never heard the gospel, people who don't know what the Bible says of lives that they live, who are opposed to the will of God in God's revealed will. We would be praying that they might step through this door and hear the good news of the gospel and be willing for the Holy Spirit to work in them, that they might begin to obey and submit and love God's Word. We be praying that we might, as a church, be sending preachers and missionaries throughout this world to proclaim this gospel of Jesus Christ. We're praying that great prayer in Ephesians 3:14-20. For this reason, we bow our knees before the Father. From every family in heaven and earth is named according to the riches of glory, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner beings, that so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend what with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Even during this time of isolations, do we see our people not just making requests to God for our own benefit, but asking God that His will might be done, but also that God might use us to carry out His will? And even during a time like this, C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Do you have people in your life that you could use someone to pray with? Would you be willing to take that bold step to pray with them, that you might pray that God's will be done in their life as well? We would be praying that His will be done in all things, not just for the macro, for example, the world, but also the micro, in us individually, in all aspects of our lives, that we would be seeking to know, submit, and obey to God's will. What a simple thing that when we pray, Your will be done. But how often we don't actually really mean that prayer. And I pray that we would start to mean, Your will be done. We would seek that God's will would be carried out throughout all the world like it has been from the beginning of time, through His hidden will. But also, through His revealed will, we would seek to be more and more Christ-like in our obedience to Him, for His glory, for His kingdom, for His name. Let us pray. O Father of heaven, we glorify and praise Your name. Lord, we thank You that You are sovereign over all things and nothing passes through Your hands. We pray that we would seek to pray this prayer from the depth of our heart, that it wouldn't be something we recite because we learnt it, but Lord, let it grow within us like a deep tree taking deep roots, that we would seek for Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank You for this opportunity to study Your word, and we pray that we would grow and change as we seek to obey, to know, and submit to Your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.